Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Matshwana, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon. Very good afternoon to you.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm feeling much okay. I'm okay. And you?
I'm feeling okay, Pastor. Thank you so much for asking. I hope your day's been good as well.
So far, so good. So far, so good.
Great to hear that. Now, Pastor, we're looking at James chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Well, this is a big scripture, Pastor. If you could please just unpack it for us.
Yeah, it's quite big. It's quite challenging. It's quite it's something else. Because the way James is writing here, like what I said earlier, I didn't know there was such a scripture which has got this depth.
Yeah.
In terms of in terms of the way we relate to one another verbally. Mm. So I can summarize this passage maybe with just one word.
Yeah,
hypocrisy.
Ooh.
Hypocrisy.
Ooh, you know? Big word.
Mm. So, Paul is admonishing us not to be two-faced or to be two-tongued. You know, the two ought not to share the same shelter. You know, salt and flesh water. You cannot mix the two, salt and flesh water. Otherwise, you'd be creating something else. I don't know what solution that is.
Mm,
salty water and fresh water. So, what you say, actually, what I utter, what I say, it actually resembles the inner me, the inner being of myself. So, in other words, Paul is saying, if we are, or if we curse one another, if we swear to one another, the human beings, like what he said, created in the image of God. And then we profess to be children of God at the same place, then I think something ought to be very wrong with us.
Yeah.
You know, we curse someone whom God has created. We utter very terrible words to someone whom God has created. Then on the flip side, we profess to worship that very same God.
Hey.
There's no hypocrisy goes beyond that. There's no hypocrisy which goes. So Paul is admonishing us against the hypocrisy. Let us not be hypocrites. You know, I think in summary, that's what Paul is saying. That's why he's giving now metaphors of a fig tree, metaphors of grapevine. I cannot pluck a fig tree out of a grapevine. I cannot.
Yeah.
Because
I
expect good fruit from a mango tree, not a sour.
True.
The moment the mango tree begins to give me some foreign object, then there's a problem now with that mango tree.
Yeah.
So he's just admonishing us to be upright.
And indeed we do need to be upright. Now, Pastor, you know, as human beings, we surely lose our temper sometimes. I mean, even God does lose his temper, and we say things that we actually may regret, you know, because of the sinful nature, etc. Does that nullify our praise and worship, or any preaching or teaching, because we use the same mouth to curse or gossip?
The answer may be yes and no at the same time. I'll try to explain that. You know, to the hearers, to the audience whom I'm preaching to, to the audience maybe whom I'm singing to, maybe it's a choir, maybe it's a quartet, it's whatever. They will be blessed. They will be uplifted. They will be edified. So the purpose of my preaching to them, I mean, it's thumbs up, because to the hearers it doesn't. We can actually get converts, and people can actually be blessed. But unfortunately, to God, it's another story now.
Okay.
Someone once wrote, God can use a crooked stick to draw a straight line.
Mm.
He can use a crooked stick, to draw a straight line. But now I think God would have an issue with that crooked stick because he wants to straighten that stick as well.
Mm.
So, to God now, you know, there's what is called a compensatory behavior.
Mm.
You know, saying good things to God, right? Doing good things, maybe to God, covering up for the bad that we say to others. You know, I think that's the way. That's not the way to do it, because I know myself with my relationship with my God is not upright. But that does not take away the voice to sing. That does not take away the voice to preach.
Yeah.
I can still, even the devil preached in heaven.
Mm.
He preached and a third of the angels were converted.
Mm.
Yeah, they were. So that does not take it away. The tenor can come out well. The soprano can come out well. Even the sermon, people can actually cry. But immediately after that, my wife, is always in trouble with me. I'm always cursing her parents. So it's bad. It's not right. This is why David.
Yeah.
Whenever he fell, you'd go straight to God, create in me a clean heart. He cried for the renewal of heart because he knew his heart was not okay.
Mm.
He knew that.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. He would do wonders in God's field. But maybe his family was failing to handle it well.
Yeah.
You know, both verbal and with actions. So that's why I said no and yes. You know, yeah, the voice can come out, can sing, but that same voice can curse. You see? So that's where our challenge is. And the solution, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, so that my cistern can only flow fresh water, not salt water and fresh water at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. Now, Pastor, you know, I don't know if we should just remain silent when we are being provoked and insulted by our enemies. Should we? Naturally, we would retaliate. Because of if you are I grew up in the township, and I do know that in the townships, when a person swears and insults you, you stand up and do something about it immediately. But should we really remain silent and be a laughing stock?
First of all, the Bible actually admonishes us, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 18, to be at peace with all men.
Mm.
Be at peace with all men. Meaning that I should not have a grudge with someone. Let that someone have a grudge with me, not me having a grudge with him, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, that does not entail that we should be verbal punchbags of whoever wishes.
Mm.
No, it doesn't mean like. Actually, remember Jesus when he was before the courts. I think the narrative in John chapter 18, maybe somewhere in verse 23. I think allow me to go there. John chapter 18. In verse 23, allow me to read verse 23. Mm. Right, John chapter 18 and verse 23. I start on 22. Now, and when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with a palm in his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?"
Mm.
So Jesus received a slap. Right. He received a slap. You know, he had answered, "I spoke openly the word I always taught in the synagogue. Why did you not arrest me? Why did you come by night?" He was asking a question.
Mm.
And he was slapped. Now, listen to Jesus' response after the slap. Then Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why did you strike me?" Now, Jesus was struck. And remember, this is the same Jesus who had said, "If someone struck you on the right, give him
turn
the left
cheek."
Right?
Mm.
Now, this time he did not turn the other cheek. He inquired, "Why have you beaten me? Why have you struck me?" Why have you struck me?
Hey.
If I said anything good, bad, if I done anything bad, why did you strike me?
Mm.
So this is God himself who is responding to a slap, not with the other cheek, but with a question.
Mm, mm, mm.
So it doesn't necessarily mean when we are Christians we should be taken advantage of. No. No, if something is wrong, it's wrong. Why have you done that? Why have you done that to me? Why have you done that to me? So we should not be silent when we are being provoked. No.
Yeah.
No. But
yeah.
Remember what Paul said. In as much as you respond, in as much as you ask a question why you've been ill-treated, try to be at peace with all men. It doesn't mean you have to clench your fists and fight, but don't be taken advantage of just because you're a Christian.
I was actually just about to say that, because if somebody gives me a hot clap, a very good one that I even see the stars, I mean, I don't think it would be ill-advised to actually give a very good clap back. And then ask the question. And then ask the question, why beatest me thou?
Why beatest me thou?
Mm.
In King James Version.
In King James Version. Yeah.
You know, it's very unfortunate we encounter those things. You know, you borrow someone money, you lend someone money, then someone doesn't want to bring you back just because you're an elder of the church.
In fact, they tell you that you're not going to get it.
Oh. Then that's, if it were me, maybe I would engage debt collectors, because otherwise I'll end up being broke, but someone will not be paying back monies.
Yes, definitely.
So the bottom line, we should not be taken advantage of because we are Christians. Yes, we should not be taken advantage of because of that.
Now, lastly, before I let you go, Pastor, how do we then respond when people disrespect our God? I mean, this is the object of our worship. This is the Most High. This is the one who created us. I mean, and they come and have the audacity to disrespect, to insult our very own God. Should we remain silent? I mean, can we not express, holy anger, righteous anger with passion, because we love Him after all?
We surely do love Him. We surely do love Him. We need to know He's the God of the universe. He's the creator of everything. He spoke everything into existence. He's different from any other gods. So we love Him to that extent. We love Him wholeheartedly, you know. So one of the best ways, biblical, now if you go to all Bible narratives, you know, there are so many people, even in high offices, who have mocked God. I remember Pharaoh. He said, who is God that I should listen to Him? Who is God that I should listen to Him and allow you to go and worship Him? And I think God showed him who He was.
Yeah.
It was not for Moses now to say, let me show you who God is. Moses showed Pharaoh who he was.
Yeah.
And I think he paid him in the Red Sea. So one of the best ways of, among many others probably, of defending the God that we worship, I want to believe is the way we live our lifestyle. We must be able to live what we preach, to live what we teach, to live what we preach. That one will be a powerful sermon that can neutralize many. But of course, men will come who mock God. So it can be, we can truly defend Him verbally, yes, when maybe a subject arises, someone is saying which is contrary to the scriptures. Yes, there I can come in and defend Him. No, the Bible says this. No, God is like this, God is like that. Yes, but we cannot be everywhere at all the time. You know, we cannot be everywhere trying to defend God here and there. But we can do it verbally, some disrespectful utterance. But being true Christians, I believe, my brother, is key. I gave the example of Pharaoh. We may now, in as much as we want to try to defend God using our own might, remember, we fight not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
In as much as we want to do that, we may end up now like one of those religions who kill and sacrifice who sacrifice their lives if their God is mocked. I think we've got some religions which do that. If their God is mocked, they'll actually kill you.
You know, Pastor, because you seem to be suggesting that really we shouldn't be expressing our holy anger or our righteous anger towards this. But I want to take you to, David, who killed a man because he disrespected God, insulting God. And, David stood there and took out his sling and killed this man, you know. And he did something about it, and you seem to be taking us away from this great example. I mean, this is a perfect example. In fact,
it's a perfect example, and it's not the only one. You remember it shit him.
Mm.
You remember it shit.
Yeah.
Somebody who appeased God's anger by thrusting a spear on two young people who were having sex in a tent.
Exactly.
The Bible actually said then God's anger was appeased.
Mm.
But yes, that is very true. That is very true. But can we now say we can actually kill, or we can actually? I think there are better ways of defending our faith. There are better ways of defending our.
I can tell you now, Pastor, that we do have an example in our Savior, who when he walked into the temple and these guys were busy there trading and selling and all of that, he turned the tables and took out his shambok and he whipped somebody. So we've got great examples in Scripture, and you want us to be timid so that these guys can walk all over us.
Yeah, so somebody once said biblical descriptions are not its prescriptions. First, once he's angry, he expressed his anger by turning over the tables. Actually, the church was, it became now a Beirut change. They were changing money in there. So he turned the tables. There are arguments as whether he whipped someone or he whipped the animals out. But expressing anger is not a sin. Expressing anger for the defense of your God is not a sin.
Yeah.
Maybe how you now act upon that anger is what matters now.
I see.
You, after being angry, is the word. Because you may shoot someone, then you rot in prison.
True.
Because that man said, my Jesus is the son of a witch. Then you shoot that person. Then before you know it, substance is all around you. And you're in prison. Yeah. So, but my point now was, in as much as we may want to fight for our God, let us all go back to the issue of how we live, how we conduct ourselves as Christians. You know, going back to what James is saying now, let us not have two tongues. You know, that one can be a sermon on its own. I know it cannot be everything, but I think it can go a long way.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, a great conversation as always here on AWR, of course, giving us a fantastic insights in terms of what the Scripture teaches us. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to be connecting one more time tomorrow, same time, same place. But for this afternoon, but thank you so much and blessings.
Thank you and bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.